Good morning and welcome to the morning segment of the Tuesday, May 7th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a podcast that is dedicated to prayer, devotion, scripture reading, and Bible study, and anything else I want to talk about. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. There's a lot of great listening over there. Over 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topic areas, all covered from a biblical worldview. My brothers and sisters in Christ over there doing a great job for the kingdom. I would definitely encourage you to get on over there. I will guarantee you, you're going to find something over there you want to listen to, and there's a real good chance you're going to find more over there to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it in. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and do our scripture reading and stuff for this morning, and then for the evening segment, we're going to do something a little bit different, but I'll tell you what that is when the evening segment comes around. But let's go ahead and open up with the third day morning prayer. God, creator and controller, let's pray. Most high God, the universe with all its myriad creatures is thine, made by thy word, upheld by thy power, governed by thy will. But thou art also the Father of mercies, the God of all grace, the bestower of all comfort, the protector of the saved. Thou hast been mindful of us, hast visited us, preserved us, given us a goodly heritage, the holy scriptures, the joyful gospel, the Savior of souls. We come to thee in Jesus' name, make mention of his righteousness only, plead his obedience and sufferings, who magnified the law both in its precepts and penalty, and made it honorable. May we be justified by his blood, saved by his life, joined to his spirit. Let us take up his cross and follow him. May the agency of thy grace prepare us for thy dispensations. Make us willing that thou shouldst choose our inheritance and determine what we shall retain or lose, suffer or enjoy. If blessed with prosperity, may we be free from its snares and use, not abuse, its advantages. May we patiently and cheerfully submit to those afflictions which are necessary when we are tempted to wander, hedge up our way, excite in us abhorrence of sin, wean us from the present evil world, assure us that we shall at last enter Emmanuel's land, where none is ever sick, and the sun will always shine. Amen. All right. And our morning devotion, our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. Sorry, a little bit scatterbrained right now. The text for it from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening is from Matthew 12:15. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. What a mass of hideous sickness must have thrust itself under the eye of Jesus. Yet we read not that he was disgusted, but patiently waited on every case. What a singular variety of evils must have met at his feet. What sickening ulcers and putrefying sores. Yet he was ready for every new shape of the monster evil, and was victor over it in every form. Let the arrow fly from what quarter it might, he quenched its fiery power. The heat of fever, or the cold of dropsy, the lethargy of palsy, or the rage of madness, the filth of leprosy, or the darkness of ophthalmia, all knew the power of his word, and fled at his command. In every corner of the field he was triumphant over evil, and received the homage of delivered captives. He came, he saw, he conquered everywhere. It is even so this morning. Whatever my own case may be, the beloved physician can heal me, and whatever may be the state of others whom I may remember at this moment in prayer, I may have hope in Jesus that he will be able to heal them of their sins. My child, my friend, my dearest one, I can have hope for each, for all, when I remember the healing power of my Lord and on my own account. However severe my struggle with sins and infirmities, I may yet be of good cheer. He who on earth walked the hospitals still dispenses his grace and works wonders among the sons of men. Let me go to him at once in right earnest. Let me praise him this morning as I remember how he wrought his spiritual cures, which bring him most renown. It may be taking upon himself our sicknesses. By his stripes we are healed. The church on earth is full of souls healed by our beloved physician, and the inhabitants of heaven itself confess that he healed them all. Come then, my soul, publish abroad the virtue of his grace, and let it be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign which shall not be cut off. All right, our reading for today, hang on a second. is going to be 1 Samuel 26 and 27, 1 Chronicles 8, and Acts 18. All right. And, you know, David's still out in the wilderness, so remember that. So 1 Samuel 26, hear the word of the Lord. Then the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding on the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon?" So Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having with him 3,000 chosen men of Israel, to search for David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul camped in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon, beside the road. Now David was staying in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. So David sent out spies and knew that Saul was certainly coming. David then arose and came to the place where Saul had camped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, as well as Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. And Saul was lying in the circle of the camp, and the people were camped around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Saul lay sleeping inside the circle of the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground at his head, and Abner and the people were lying around him. Then Abishai said to David, "Today God has surrendered your enemy into your hand. So now please let me strike him with the spear to the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can send forth his hand against the anointed of Yahweh and be without guilt?" David also said, "As Yahweh lives, surely Yahweh will smite him, or his day will come that he dies, or he will go down into battle and be swept away. Yahweh forbid that I should send forth my hand against the anointed of Yahweh. But now please take the spear that is at his head and the jug of water and let us go." So David took the spear and the jug of water from beside Saul's head, and they went away. But no one saw or knew it, nor did any awake. For they were all asleep, because of a sound sleep from Yahweh had fallen on them. Then David crossed over to the other side, and stood on top of the mountain at a distance with a large area between them. And David called to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, "Will you not answer, Abner?" Then Abner answered and said, "Who are you who calls to the king?" So David said to Abner, "Are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came to destroy the king, your lord. This thing that you have done is not good. As Yahweh lives, all of you must surely die, because you did not keep watch over your lord, the anointed of Yahweh. So now see where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was at his head." Then Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord the king." He also said, "Why then is my lord pursuing his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hand? So now please let my lord the king listen to the words of his servant. If Yahweh has incited you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is men, cursed are they before Yahweh, for they have driven me out today, so that I would have no attachment with the inheritance of Yahweh, saying, 'Go serve other gods.' So now do not let my blood fall to the ground away from the presence of Yahweh. For the king of Israel has come out to search for a single flea, just as one pursues a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will not harm you again, because my life was precious in your sight this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have committed a serious error." And David replied, "Behold the spear of the king. Now let one of the young men come over and take it. Now Yahweh will repay each man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For Yahweh gave you into my hand today, but I was not willing to send forth my hand against the anointed of Yahweh. Now behold, as your life was highly valued in my sight this day, so may my life be highly valued in the sight of Yahweh, and may he deliver me from all distress." Then Saul said to David, "Blessed are you, my son David. You will both accomplish much and surely prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. 1 Samuel 27. Then David said in his heart, "Now I will be swept away one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should utterly escape into the land of the Philistines. Saul then will despair of searching for me any more in all the territory of Israel, and I will escape from his hand." So David arose and crossed over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told to Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he no longer searched for him. Then David said to Achish, "If now I have found favor in your sight, let them give me a place in one of the cities in the country that I may live there, for why should your servant live in the royal city with you?" So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. And the number of days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. Now David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites and the Girzites and the Amalekites, for they were the inhabitants of the land from ancient times, as you come to Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. And David struck the land, and did not leave a man or a woman alive. And he took away the sheep, the cattle, the donkeys, the camels, and the clothing. Then he returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, "Where have you made a raid today?" And David said, "Against the Negev of Judah, and against the Negev of the Jeramelites, and against the Negev of the Kenites." And David did not leave a man or a woman alive to bring to Gath, saying, "Lest they tell about us, saying, so has David done, and so has been his custom at all the time he has lived in the country of the Philistines." So Achish believed David, saying, "He has surely made himself odious among the people of Israel. Therefore he will become my servant forever." 1 Chronicles 8. And Benjamin became the father of Bela, his firstborn, Ashbel the second, Ahara the third, Noba the fourth, and Rapha the fifth. Bela had sons, Adar, Gera, Abihud, Abishua, Naaman, Ahoa, Gera, Sharfufan, and Huram. These are the sons of Ehud. These are the heads of fathers' households of the inhabitants of Geba, and they took them away into exile to Manahath, namely Naaman, Ahijah, and Gera. He took them away into exile, and he became the father of Uzzah and Ahihud. Shaharaim became the father of children in the country of Moab after he had sent away Hushim and Baara, his wives. By Hodesh, his wife, he became the father of Jobab, Zibiah, Misha, Malcham, Jeuz, Sakia, Mirma. These were his sons, heads of fathers' households. By Hushim, he became the father of Abitub and Elpaal. The sons of Elpaal were Eber, Misham, Shemed, who built Ono and Lod with its towns, and Beriah and Shema, who were heads of fathers' households of the inhabitants of Aijalon, who made the inhabitants of Gath flee, and Ahio, Sheshach, and Jeremoth, Zebadiah, Arad, Eber, Michael, Ishpa, and Joha were the sons of Beriah. Zebadiah, Meshulam, Hizki, Heber, Ishmerai, Isliah, and Jobab were the sons of Elpaal. Jachim, Zikri, Zabdi, Elianai, Zilithai, Eliel, Adiah, Beriah, and Shimrath were the sons of Shimi. Ishpan, Eber, Eliel, Abdon, Zikri, Hanan, Hananiah, Elam, Anhothijah, Ifdaiah, and Penuel were the sons of Sheshach. Shamsherai, Shehariah, Athaliah, Jareshiah, Elijah, and Zikri were the sons of Jeroham. These were the heads of the fathers' households according to their generations, the heads who lived in Jerusalem. Now in Gibeon, Jael, the father of Gibeon, lived, and his wife's name was Maakah, and his firstborn son was Abdon. Then Zur, Kish, Baal, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, and Zechar. Mikloth became the father of Shemaiah. And they also lived with their relatives in Jerusalem opposite their other relatives. Ner became the father of Kish, and Kish became the father of Saul. And Saul became the father of Jonathan, Malkishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. The son of Jonathan was Merib-Baal, and Merib-Baal became the father of Micah. The sons of Micah were Pithon, Melech, Tariah, and Ahaz. Ahaz became the father of Jehoiada became the father of Alameth, Asmaveth, and Zimri. And Zimri became the father of Moza. Moza became the father of Benia. Rapha was his son. Eliasah, his son, Azel, his son. Azel had 6 sons, and these were their names: Azrikam, Bocheru, Ishmael, Sheariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. All these were the sons of Azel. The sons of Eshek, his brother, were Ulam, his firstborn, Jeush the second, and Eliphelet the third. The sons of Ulam were mighty men of valor, archers, and had many sons and grandsons, 150 of them. All these were the sons of Benjamin. And Acts 18. After these things, he departed Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, and his wife Priscilla, who recently came from Italy because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he was staying with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath, and trying to persuade both Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly bearing witness to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a God-fearer whose house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no man will lay a hand on you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." And he stayed there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But while Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, "This man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you. But if there are questions about words and names in your own law, see to it yourselves. I am not willing to be a judge of these matters." And he drove them away from the judgment seat. And they all took hold of Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, and began beating him in front of the judgment seat. But Gallio was not concerned about any of those things. And Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brothers and put out to sea for Syria. And with him were Priscilla and Aquila. In Cenchrea he had his hair cut, for he was keeping a vow. And they arrived at Ephesus, and he left them there. Now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer time, he did not consent. But taking leave of them and saying, "I will return to you again if God wills," he set sail from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and went down to Antioch. And having spent some time there, he left and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, arrived at Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. But he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. All right, well, that is our reading for the day. Thank you for spending this time with me. I continue to pray that our time together doing these readings keeps us saturated in the Word of God. I hope you have yourself a wonderful day. I continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. And I hope to see you for the evening segment. Again, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. So kind of teasing it out there. Be great if you were with us. Let's go ahead and close out with prayer. This one is called Self-Knotting from Valley of Vision. Let's pray. O Lord, help me to approach thee with becoming conception of thy nature, relations, and designs. Thou inhabitest eternity, and my life is nothing before thee. Thou dwellest in the highest heaven, and this cannot contain thee. I live in a house of clay. Thy power is almighty. I am crushed before the moth. Thy understanding is infinite. I know nothing as I ought to know. Thou canst not behold evil. I am vile. In my ignorance, weakness, fears, depressions, may thy spirit help my infirmities with supplies of wisdom, strength, and comfort. Let me faithfully study my character, be willing to bring it to light, observe myself in my trials, judge the reality and degree of my grace, consider how I have been ensnared or overcome. Grant that I may never trust my heart, depend upon any past experiences, magnify any present resolutions, but be strong in the grace of Jesus, that I may know how to obtain relief from a guilty conscience without feeling reconciled to my imperfections. Sustain me under my trials and improve them to me. Give me grace to rest in thee and assure me of deliverance. May I always combine thy majesty with thy mercy and connect thy goodness with thy greatness. Then shall my heart always rejoice in praises to thee. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, and I hope to see you for the evening segment. Have a good day. God bless.